Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, it's Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style with your colour and style questions, my lucky dip. So, today's first question is... Gwen's asked, I'm growing out my hair to salt and pepper. How will my colours change? Now, so this is something that if you are growing your hair out, whether you want to or that's being forced on you, then we want to think about how that colour changes. So when we're thinking about colours, if you have a hair dyed to like a solid brown or a red or a copper or a black or a, you know, any kind of colour that's not kind of softer, what you'll find is that that makes your colouring brighter. Now, the more we get that salt and pepper, so the more that grey comes into our hair, what it does is softens down our appearance. So it's a much softer colour rather than being a brighter colour. So if you are growing your hair out and you're going salt and pepper, then assume that not only will your hair colour soften, but you'll also need to soften down the colours of your clothing. So thinking about a more smoky, more greyed down version. Now, depending how grey you are too, this is going to make a big difference. If you're a dark grey, so you've just got, say you come with dark colour to start with, and you've got like a small percentage of grey, 10, 20%, 30%, not a lot of grey. It can feel like a lot, but it's not a lot, trust me. Then you'll find that you'll still have overall darker hair. So you'll still want the overall darker colours, but think about the same sorts of colours that have been suiting you, but pass a haze of kind of grey, dark grey smoke over the top. So still darker colours, but a dark, softer version. If you are really, you turn out to be really quite white, like more like 80% grey, so more white, much, much lighter, what'll happen is that you may need to lighten up your palette as well as softening it down. So it really depends what your colouring is now and what it's really changing to, depending on what's actually growing out of your head. One of the other things we tend to notice is when we go to our kind of natural grey colour, as we're getting older, is that you'll tend to find that your colours cool down a little bit as well, because both black and white are cool, so therefore grey is cool. So when your hair goes grey, it actually is cooler, and generally we find on the whole skin cools down a bit as well. It doesn't remain as warm as it did when we were younger. So if you're already cool, you'll stay cool. If you're warm, you may stay warm but just not be as warm as you were, or you may pop over to the cool side. Really depends, and that's why if you do go grey, it's worthwhile having another kind of colour update, little colour analysis, to check what your colours are now compared to what they were. So particularly if we change that overall value, so how light or dark your hair is, then that will change. So we may go from a dark palette to a light palette, so we need to lighten up the colours we're wearing, or we may need to just soften them down, but in the same sort of value or lightness or darkness. So there you go. Because I know at the moment, with hairdressers closing everywhere, some of us will be growing some grey out. Hopefully it's just some roots, won't last forever. We can go back to dyeing our hair. Okay, next question. Joe asks, are all people with blue eyes cool? Of course, we are incredibly cool, us blue-eyed people. We're just like hip, we're cool. No, actually, you can be warm or you can be cool as far as your undertone with blue eyes is. So either will, you know, you'll see versions of both warm and cool with blue eyes. Blue eyes really don't tell you too much about your colouring. They just are part of your colour contrast and what you might wear, but they don't tell you if you're warm or cool. Brown eyes, the same. There are many warm brown eyed people and there's many cool brown eyed people. So brown eyes, like blue eyes, are not a really great indicator of colour, direction or colour undertone. The one colour that I find is the most obvious indicator is the green. If you have a green that's more of an olivey sort of green, so a yellow green, if you've got any of that in your eyes, often we'll see it in hazel eyes, where if you look at some hazel eyes, you'll get some real kind of green elements. If it's more that between, you know, kind of more the asparagus to olives, warmer, because that's a yellow green. So have a look in your eyes if you've got green eyes or even hazel eyes and go, am I seeing some warm yellowy green tones in there? That's going to be a great indicator that you're warmer. But if you've got a green eye, but they're more a foresty green, so more in this kind of blue green like my chair, then they are a cooler green eye. The other color you'll sometimes see, definitely in a much more warm green, and you'll see it in these kind of hazel colored eyes as well, is a real kind of orangey bronze. And so that's usually an indicator too that you're going to be warm. If you've got a really kind of, it's almost like the brownie tones are more orange. So there's a lot of yellow in that. So there you go. So, but as far as, you know, kind of brown and blue goes, you can have a warm version, you can have a cool version. I've seen plenty of both of those. It's much harder when you've got that. That's one less thing I can look at when I'm doing color analysis to go, you know, what color are the eyes? If they're green, if they're a warm green, then I go pretty certain that they're probably warm. There you go. One of the other questions people often ask just on this little topic is this whole thing with skin tone. People often think, I've got pink in the face, I must be cool. But in fact, there are many warm people who have a pinkness to their skin. It just means that the hemoglobin is close to the surface and we see it more. But it really doesn't necessarily give us undertone. So whether you're cool or whether you're warm. So don't assume if you have a pinkish looking skin that you are warm. You may be cool. And in fact, don't also assume with your foundation color, because remember we're matching foundation to the overtone of skin. So we want to just put a foundation on and we want to just smooth our skin out. We're not changing the color of our skin per se. So when I am looking at foundations, I ignore that they say some are cool and some are warm. I mean, some are very orange or yellow and some are very, very pink. But if we're in that more middle section, which more people are, that you'll find there are people who'll have cool undertone who'll be wearing a slightly yellow-based foundation, and there'll be people with a warm undertone who are wearing a slightly pink foundation. So don't assume that the color of your foundation is also the color of your undertone, that you're cool or warm, because really what we're just matching with foundation is trying to make our skin look like the best version of itself rather than putting a mask over the top. And as someone who has a slightly yellow base but cool skin, when I have put on pink undertone, pink based foundations, I look bizarrely pink in a way that really is not flattering. Don't think too much that the color of your foundation tells you your undertone, or that's a real indicator, or that if you have pink skin that you cannot be warm. So there we go. And our lucky last question for today is, Rebecca says, how to choose the right rise of my jeans and pants? So the rise is the where the zip is. That's basically kind of the rise of the pant, goes from the base of the crotch up to the waistband. There's higher rises and lower rises, of course, and they all vary. And there's fashion trends too. I think back to when I was my teenage years, and it was all back in the 80s, it was all very high rise. We wore our pants very, very high. And then in the 90s, rises got lower and lower and lower and lower and lower until the very end of the 90s, early 2000s, they were, just above your pubic bone. And then they've gone up again to mid-rise, and then they're going up again now to high-rise again. So this is, there are fashion trends in here. So we want to relate our clothes to the fashion trends. But if something really doesn't suit you, there's no point of going, especially the extreme end of that fashion trend. So when we're thinking about the rise of your trousers and choosing them, generally, if you have a longer body and shorter legs, go for a higher-rise pant. If you have a shorter body and longer legs, go for a lower rise pant. It creates more balance. If you're not sure, go for a mid rise. But there'll also be comfort aspects here as well, where you might find, that many people who've got a long rise, so proportionally that from their waist to their leg break, and you can watch videos I've got on how to measure your proportions, which are on the blog. Just Google, put into the blog how to measure body proportions and you'll understand all about this. That if you've got that's proportionally longer, even on you, you'll find that a high-rise pant will probably only be mid-rise, and a mid-rise will be low-rise. So don't assume just because the label says one thing, that's how it's going to actually sit on you. And everybody has, there'll be other things that affect how the rise sits on you, such as if you have a more curvy bottom, it may pull the pants out, and sometimes it can pull the front of the pants down. So, you know, rise relates to body proportions more than anything, a little bit about body shape, but much more about body proportions. And whether we want to make our body like shorten it down, so by putting the high rise on a really long body, we're slightly shortening down the body and lengthening the legs, or do we want to lengthen the body and shorten the legs slightly to balance them out, so therefore we have a lower rise. So there you go, simple really. Hopefully that's helped you. Do let me know what questions you have, and I'll be answering them in upcoming videos. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.